This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Thanks for joining us. Emory Hunt's going to join us, footballgameplan.com. That's coming up in 34 minutes. You don't want to miss that insight on the NFL, Brady's arrival in Tampa Bay. What is that going to mean? All the other fallouts, the Todd Gurley cut, and all, you know, just all the news that we've been getting this week. And thank you, NFL, for that. I'm not one that thinks the NFL should have taken a week off like everybody else. This was business news. It wasn't gather in large groups news. So I was very glad that we had a lot of this information to sort of digest this week. And we'll see what the future weeks hold until we get back to work. Tennis player Eugenie Bouchard has been quarantined, and she was quoted as saying about the fact that tennis is shut down and she's kind of bored. She doesn't know what to do. She had a message for her followers saying, quote, "Not complaining, but I feel like the quarantine world would be a lot more fun with a boyfriend." She posted that on Twitter. And she's a very attractive young lady who is a tennis star. But here's the interesting thing about Eugenie Bouchard. She actually went on a date and had a boyfriend with a guy on Twitter who made a little bet with her. And she honored that bet by going out with him to a Brooklyn Nets game not that long ago. And not only that, but here's the thing. She didn't do it as one of those, hey, let's take the guy out and have some fun. We'll get some pictures to show you're kind of a good person and you're into your fans. And, you know, then we'll move on. They actually dated again. She actually liked him. And all this guy did was follow a very beautiful tennis player on Twitter and made a little bet with her. And she actually said yes, and they got to know each other and actually like each other. So when I saw that, I thought, well, wait, I thought you had a boyfriend. I thought you were still dating this guy. But apparently not. But it goes to show you, you never know. I don't know if this works in this day and age. You know, when I was growing up, if you wanted to ask a girl out, like when you were in high school, you called their house on a landline and you hoped their parents didn't answer. Now you're just texting and just hit them up on Twitter. So, Eugenie Bouchard, bored without a boyfriend, but I never forgot the story about the young stranger, the young man, Mr. Nobody, that ended up not only on a date with her, but many dates with her, just by hitting her up on Twitter for a little bet. Pretty remarkable story. More on the NFL next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could join us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Emory Hunt's going to join us coming up at 40 past from footballgameplan.com. I always like talking to Emory. Really knowledgeable what's going on in the league.
Yeah, we can go anywhere with him.
Yeah, he's great. We're going to have a lot of different angles to take with the NFL. One story that I wanted to get to, we kind of touched on it in hour one this morning, the whole Tom Brady. Now, a lot of players want to reach out and play with Brady down in Tampa Bay.
Of course they do. Who
of course
doesn't?
They do. Well, they wanted to play with New England, but you had to get by Bill Belichick. Yeah, but now it might be a little easier.
Soak up the sunshine. Although, yeah. I don't think there's any need for a wide receiver.
No, I don't think so either. No.
Though but, there has been that rumor with Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman, would it be interesting if Edelman tried to force his way down to Tampa?
Yep.
Get down there?
Yeah.
Get down there to play with Tom?
Belichick's not going to give that up.
No. But I talked about this with Pat Donovan. There has been a little Twitter rumbling about possibly how much Brady liked Antonio Brown on the team and might want to bring him back if Antonio Brown is cleared to come back to the NFL. That's a big if.
But I already saw a report today the Buccaneers aren't interested.
I don't think the Buccaneers should do that.
Yeah.
I think if you're Brady, that's probably a little too far in your convincing of roster moves. I think that's a little too much. Like, you could get there's probably a number of players that the Bucs would go, look, Tom, I'm glad you like this player. We like him too. So, you know, we kind of think the same way. You don't have to convince us that this certain player would be good. We think he's good, and if there's an opportunity to bring him on board, the more the merrier. But Antonio Brown, if Brady goes in and goes, you know who I really like playing with, guys? Antonio Brown. I know it was for one game, but I really... I'm like, yeah, no thanks. Really appreciate your interest, but no. I ain't going down that role. But it's much easier if now, if you're a player, to say, okay, look, I know I might have had some problems getting on the Patriots, but I'm wondering if I can get on with the Buccaneers. Because if you like me, this may not have been a move Belichick would have approved of, but now you've got a little bit more say into who you bring in. You can convince Bruce Arians, and I can do this and this and this for you.
Yeah, is there a list of players out there that either in the NFL right now who are free agents, or maybe they're not in the NFL? Maybe they got cut last year or 2 years ago. What if Dez Bryant hits up Tom Brady?
So that's a great question.
Hey, listen, I know I'm not a number one anymore. I know that's Mike Evans' team. I know Chris Godwin's going to be a great wide receiver for you, but you could always use the third guy.
Yeah, no kidding. And isn't that weird that you've got a number of players, these players that are expressing interest, they don't mind that he's 43. They don't mind that it's a couple of years down the road that he's going to be. They just want to be a part of whatever Brady's building in Tampa Bay. Like, he's still carrying that much influence. Normally, look, nobody wants to play with a 40-year-old. I don't remember everybody clamoring to play with an aging Michael Jordan in Washington, right? But this is different. There's a feeling like Brady could do some good things here. Like, a team is already built to be pretty good. They went 7-9 last year. You just add a couple of wins to that record, to this team that's got a pretty good defense, got good weapons with Tom Brady as the quarterback. They might win 10 and be competitive enough to roll into the postseason and see what happens. And with Tom Brady, you never know. So, yeah, I think he's expected to – he underwent a physical. I think there's another one coming with a doctor in New York today.
Yeah. Why are we sending him there, by the way?
I know. All right.
Why does he have to go to New York to get a physical? Doesn't he have enough clout now to bring a doctor to him?
To him, right. Doesn't he have enough clout to bring the doctor that he wants to him?
Or the Glazers.
Does he have to go to New York?
The Glazers still own the Buccaneers, right?
God, if I'm the Glazers, I put him in a bubble. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes. Like, I'm watching, I see him walking into this. I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm not sending him to New York. You know what's going on in New York right now?
Right. Don't.
I mean, I'm going to assume that they're not sending him to New York City, hopefully.
You better put him in a hazmat suit. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to do that physical in a hazmat suit.
No, that's right. But still, it's what you got to do.
Real quick, this hit the wire just
hit
a few
the wire.
Seconds ago,
okay.
A few minutes ago. Falcons signing Todd Gurley.
Oh, well done. That was quick.
Yeah. You knew he wasn't going to be out that
long. Well, Devontae Freeman's gone, so they probably could have used a running back. And let's see. He's played at Georgia. It seems to be a perfect combination.
Yeah,
good luck.
Bringing him home.
Good job. Yeah. I'm seeing it now. The Falcons. We got him. Yeah, you got him like 8 seconds after he was let go. Probably you were probably on the phone with his agent the second that was brought out.
I'm wondering how many offers were out there.
Oh, no doubt.
Or was it Gurley saying, nah, I think I want to go home?
I'm sure his agent said, as soon as he got the message from the Rams, he called and said, the Falcons are on the other line right now. So don't you worry, big man. I got this for you.
Yeah, one-year deal.
It's a
true show-me deal.
Of course. That's great. Good for him. He takes that guaranteed money, all the big bucks that he got in Los Angeles, and he gets a nice one-year deal to prove that his knees are not all as banged up as we may think they are. Or maybe they are banged up. We'll see. This is the show-me year. You're right. Go with that. Good luck with the Falcons. Good luck, Falcons.
Speaking of injuries coming back from injury, you know what? We haven't paid any attention to a certain injury that I think needs to be paid more attention to.
Okay.
Justin Verlander.
Justin Verlander is going to have groin surgery.
Yeah. Is it safe to assume who the culprit might be for said groin injury, or do you think it was just him overstretching?
I see where you're going there, Mr. Culver, you naughty boy. Well done.
Let's face it. I think I would have one, too.
Sure thing. You better believe it. That had to be gone across people's minds when they heard that, right?
Well, that goes through people's minds. But now the other part goes through his minds that he's going to be out for, what, 6 weeks?
Six to eight weeks.
I mean, yeah, that's not going to interrupt baseball life at all.
Not at all.
Might interrupt some other kind of life.
But there's a certain someone going, oh, geez. Oh, well.
I mean, do you expect her to just wait around for 6 weeks?
6 weeks is a long time.
Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Groin surgery for the 37-year-old Justin Verlander. God bless you.
I hated thinking that, but I couldn't help coming back around to it. Like, man, you know, it was during the off season.
Yep.
Is it going to be one of those off season injuries that spring training is famous for?
That's true.
That's another thing we're missing out on. The spring training injuries.
Yeah, spring training injuries.
We're not getting the fun ones.
You just proved the point that injury report is a lot more fun than saying Chris Sale is going to have Tommy John
who
surgery.
Who cares?
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
Tommy John surgery.
Stiffness in my elbow.
Big deal. Justin Verlander having groin surgery? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of little angles you can take on that one.
Of course.
Why not? Let's go have some fun with that. Justin Verlander. Poor Verlander. Has she been on social media commenting on this? I'd love to find out.
You know what? That's a great question.
Because she likes the social media. Listen, she has no problems calling out people who call the Astros cheaters and all that stuff. She had no problems defending the team and the people. Is she commenting on her husband's recent setback? That'd be fun to find out. Goodness. Yeah. But that's weird, though, when you think about it. Like, Verlander out 6 weeks after groin injury, and you're like, yeah, wake me up when the season starts, and then I'll do the math to figure out how long he's actually going to be out. So, I mean, yeah, because baseball's like everything else. It's like there's no point. We don't know when it's going to start. They can give us a date. We can say mid-May at the earliest, but we get to mid-May, we'll find out if it's going to roll from there. We don't know. That's funny. Verlander out with a groin injury. That's great. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
Nope. She
she has no comment on the groin injury.
All right. Yeah.
She does tweet.
She does tweet a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
she's pretty active on social media.
She has a picture of her on Valentine's Day. Then she has a picture of her walking down some hallway in a robe.
Okay. Very good.
It's not a bad life, man.
No, and it's not a bad life if you can get it. That's for sure. No question. Okay. And yeah, and you know what?
I would take it.
Plus being quarantined, it's like, oh, God, yeah. Groin surgery and I'm quarantined?
I know, that's, you know.
Nothing else to do?
What are you going to do?
There's nothing else to do.
You're just going to Netflix everything?
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why it's Netflix and chill.
And chill. Yep.
Not just Netflix.
No, it's Netflix and chill.
Do you think they had that conversation, too? He's probably sitting there saying, hey, babe, you know, this is perfect for my baseball career, my baseball season. The time is right. I'll be back and I'll be able to play by opening day because I don't know when opening day is going to start. And do you think she at first said yes and then in hindsight went, oh, man, we shouldn't have done that because you're home.
Right.
You're not training. You're not you're not away. No. This is like an extra month of vacation for us, babe.
I know.
God. And we can't leave the house.
Quarantined is so bad. So bad. Last night, my wife was putting pictures up. We just had our inside of our house painted, and she was putting some pictures up, but she was redesigning them on the stairs. You know how you put the pictures kind of So she was doing her thing where she was lining them up, making sure each picture was perfect and whatnot, and I needed to go downstairs to get something to drink. I was thirsty, and she wouldn't move from the stairs. She goes, no, you're not going down. She goes, I'm in the zone, picking the pictures up. I was like, just scoot over. Let me go down the stairs. She goes, no, stop. I'm putting the pictures up. You can wait. And I go, no, I can't. I got to go. She goes, you can wait. And I go, oh, my God, is this what it's going to be like for the next couple of weeks? I can't
That's
even go
funny.
Downstairs.
You know, I mean, what you should
We're
have
We're going to fight about going downstairs to get a soda.
I'm a little upset with you. Why didn't you just slide down the rail?
I was, well, it's like half rail wall. If it was a full rail, I would have been down the rail.
All right. I
totally,
get what you're saying.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was a full rail. It's just like, all right, I'm doing this, sweetie. Sorry so if I break it.
So I waited. I waited until she was done with the masterpiece of pictures, and then I went downstairs and got my drink.
You're going to start bugging her like, hey, when are you going to the office like you said you would?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. When did you tell me you had so much paperwork to do in your quiet office?
Yeah.
Everybody's cramping my style staying home.
Well, that's what I
don't like it.
My wife's home office is now, and she's like, where can I set up? And, you know, talked about my office, and I'm like, I don't think you want to be up there. It's right next to the kids.
No.
You know, we'll just put you, you know, you like being downstairs. We'll put you in the dining room.
That's right. That's
kind
right.
Kind of a way. It's, you know, kind of noise friendly for you.
You'll love it. It's quarantine. It's crazy. Emory Hunt's going to join us coming up in 17 minutes. We'll have him on the NFL as we continue along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time for March Memories as we go back in time and remember some of the better moments of the NCAA tournament. And this week we've been talking about some of the bad boys of the college basketball seasons. Today we'll be doing Tyler Hansbrough of the North Carolina Tar Heels, who won it all in 2009, beating Michigan State at Ford Field. Before we do that, if you have a car problem but don't know where to go, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help with O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program. You can take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. North Carolina Tar Heels of 2008-2009, senior Tyler Hansbrough, Psycho T, as he is remembered. Aggressive basketball player. Aggressive. Kind of dirty in a lot of ways, the way he played the game. Not very well liked, if you will, by a number of people, but very respected. That was an outstanding North Carolina team. But the year before they won it all, they lost to Kansas. And they all of the players that could have gone to the NBA draft decided to stay in Chapel Hill to make another run at it. So you're talking Wayne Ellington, you're talking Ty Lawson, Danny Green, those guys that decided to stay. Hansbrough was always going to stay, and he was a senior. At a time where we're talking about so much of the one-and-dones of college basketball and how you don't get to know a guy his entire career in college anymore. They're quickly in and quickly out. I mean, the mega superstars. Tyler Hansbrough was a four-year player in North Carolina, and he was an entity in the sport, meaning you would watch him, you would watch North Carolina, but you would kind of know where he was and his influence on the game. And it capped off with a championship against Michigan State at Ford Field with Roy Williams. I give Roy Williams a lot of heat sometimes because I think he is very overdramatic when his team is not very good. Some of his hyperbolic talk about when the team is bad is a little nuts. But Roy Williams has done so many great things at North Carolina. When he was at Kansas, remember, he led the Jayhawks to the finals in 2003. Remember, they lost to Syracuse and Carmelo Anthony. And it was Bonnie Bernstein that was asking him about the North Carolina job because the North Carolina job was up. All right, it was available. There were rumors that he was going to go there. And he swore on CBS television because he was kind of frustrated with the question and he was dealing with his kids and he was dealing with losing the game and he didn't give a beep about North Carolina at that moment. But getting to North Carolina, it was only a couple of years after that he won a national championship in 2005, and then he wins another one in 2009, and then he wins another one in 2017, just a couple of years ago. But this team was really good, but it all centered around, again, one of the more polarizing individuals of the sport at the time in Tyler Hansbrough, better known as Psycho T. And he was. I mean, he was rough and tumble. He was that kind of player. He reminded me a little of Eric Montross, but with a little bit more attitude. Montross was another one of those players that was very physical, but he had a little bit more attitude. He wasn't Duke-hated, meaning he wasn't on the same level as Grayson Allen. He wasn't on the same level as a number of other Dukies besides Leitner that had gotten kind of the hatred label around college basketball. But he did have it. But North Carolina is not one of those deeply hated programs, but he was kind of a polarizing figure. Is it on the scale of the villains that we've done this week? Yeah, this is probably more on the bottom scale. The Fab Five were more controversial, especially later after their legacy was kind of done and in the books, at least so we thought, and then stuff came out to sort of tarnish that legacy. Duke, we never warmed up to Duke. It, you know, as a society that didn't go there, that don't root for them, I don't think they still, to this day, they still don't get the kind of respect that I think they deserve for being such a consistently good basketball program. Every tournament that we have, and boy, do I miss it, we wait for Duke to lose and then everybody gets happy. Go to social media whenever Duke loses in the tournament, and it really doesn't matter where. Yep. You'll see a lot of elation.
Hey, former President Obama's perennial pick to win it all.
Yeah, that's right.
It seemed like every single year, like, North Carolina.
That's right. And so North Carolina was never on that same level. It's not the, you know, Kentucky has that sort of, Kentucky with John Calipari has that a lot outside of Big Blue Nation because John Calipari is unabashedly a supporter of the whole one and done factory that he's created in Lexington. And that for a lot of people that just doesn't feel right, even though he's playing by the rules, even though the system is set up for that. But he doesn't have any problems going, you know what, if you come to Kentucky, I'll make you a better NBA player. You know, come to Kentucky for this 1 year, and I'll make you a better rebounder. I'll make you a better short-range jump shooter. I'll make you a better perimeter player. Whatever it is that you need to work on, you work on it here, and off you go to the pros. He has no problem with that, whereas other coaches, they know what they're doing, but they don't like to come out and basically admit it. They don't want to come out and say, yeah, you know what? This is the way college basketball is. We love these guys coming in, playing for a year, and taking off. But Calipari is almost we just don't like that. We don't want this to be real. You know, I've said this many times when it comes to the one and done in college hoops. The thing, people go really irrational with trying to fix that. Like these kids, you know, kids should have to stay in college when we don't ask anybody else to stay in college for a period of time. We don't tell the kid that signed up to go to Florida State that he needs to, you know, go back to school and study. Even if his father's business is on the ends and he needs to go back home and take care of the family. Like, we never go, well, you know, you agreed to go to Florida State. You should at least go for 2 years. But somehow we want athletes to be committed to that because we don't like the way college basketball's business is. But give Tyler Hansbrough the credit, right? And a lot of it has to do with development. A lot of it has to do each his own. And a lot of it has to do with how much they enjoy the setting of college basketball. You know, look, Tyler Hansbrough had a career in the NBA where he bounced around for a couple of years, but basically spent a majority of his professional career playing in the G League and in China. He never was a NBA superstar. So maybe he realized, look, I like this. I like being on a national figure on a national team. You know what? Call me psycho T. Call me a little dirty. Call me a little aggressive. Call me a little rough. Call me physical. It doesn't matter, but you have to call me champion at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you have to call me champion. So you can hate me. You can dislike me. You can think I'm nuts. You can think I'm crazy. You can think I'm tough to play against. But at the end of the day, I held the trophy, and you got to at least acknowledge that. Didn't matter if we bounced around. I was the national player of the year. I was the ACC player of the year at one time. I was the rookie of the year in the conference. I have all of these accolades. And for some people, college basketball, look, some wants to jump in real quick and get right to making the money. And some people love the entire experience because it is different. It is a different experience. You know, if you had 4 years of being a superstar at North Carolina or 4 years playing for three different teams in the NBA, averaging 10 minutes a night, you'd want the money. But outside of that, tell me which is a better life. Outside of that, outside of the cash. Because, you know, playing 10 minutes a night can still warrant you like $10 million a year. But think about that. I mean, it's hard. It would be hard to give up. Now, most guys don't know that they're going to bounce around to three teams in 4 years and get average 10 minutes a night. But for some, the best years were in college. And some get that. And I think Tyler Hansbrough got that. And I think, too, even though, again, he was considered one of the bad boys at the time. But think about all those names I had mentioned earlier on that North Carolina team. We talked about this yesterday with Florida. There's something you got to respect when guys know they can head right to the draft and start making money and start being a pro. But when they come together after a tough loss and go, you know what, guys? We can do this again and be champions. We don't have to run off to our separate ways. We can come back and do this again. And those guys did that year. They, again, losing to Kansas and then bouncing back in 2009, 2008, 2009, and winning the whole thing. In a tournament that is as quirky as the NCAA tournament, where you don't know which small school is going to knock you off in round one because they just can hit the three a little bit better that night, it's a dangerous thing to do because you don't know what the end result's going to be. You can believe, well, I'll be a first-round pick when I get out. You could also get hurt. It could help hurt your draft stock. But Joakim Noah and the Gators did this, and Tyler Hansbrough and the North Carolina Tar Heels did the exact same thing from the 2008 season to the 2009 season, going from disappointment to champion. Florida, it went from champion to champion. But that concludes the Bad Boys Week. Next week, we'll talk about some of the unsung heroes of the tournament.
This is SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along on a Friday morning. A lot of stuff going on this week in the NFL. And we bring in Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com, and a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Emory, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Good. The breaking news this morning, Todd Gurley, who was cut yesterday by the Rams, is going to be joining the Falcons. Emory, in your evaluation of where Gurley has been since we started realizing there might be something wrong with the knee. It's a one-year contract, so it's kind of a show-me deal. What do you think Gurley's got left?
You know, that's an interesting question, because when you watch him, you see that he's not the same, but he's still pretty good, and you hope that this one-year show-me deal, like you called it, definitely works out for both parties, because the Falcons really need a running back to help stabilize their offense. And Gurley really needs to show that he's still one of the premier players in the league. So hopefully the way they utilized him last year will help extend his career a little bit more. And maybe if the Falcons pair him up with another back, it could work out well for both parties.
All right, let's get to the big story this week. Tom Brady going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't think it was surprising he was leaving New England, but Tampa Bay emerged as kind of a late landing spot, and they end up getting him. How much of the weapons around him do you like, or what other concerns do you have with Brady going to Tampa?
Well, they have weapons. You saw that last year with Jameis Winston and the numbers that he put up. They have the weapons. They still need a running back, in my opinion. I think they'll address that position in the draft, but I am still concerned about the Tom Brady that everyone is assuming that they're getting. He's 43 years old, coming off the worst year of his career. Are we sure this is the Tom Brady that everybody thinks that they're getting? So, to me, that's the biggest question. Not necessarily anything around him, but does he still have the goods?
From a standpoint of Jameis Winston, he's one of the more perplexing quarterbacks I've seen in a while. But we've been saying this for so long with him, especially after the season ended. When he's good, he's good. But when he's bad, he's really bad. Where do you see a home for him?
New England. I think New England would be an ideal spot for Jameis Winston because, and I know the statistics are very similar, despite them being a different time frame, time eras. But when you look at Peyton Manning's first 5 years and Winston's first 5 years, they're identical. We know Winston knows how to play the game. Hopefully this LASIK surgery is something that we joked about he should have gotten at Florida State when he was doing all the squinting on the sideline.
Right.
Hopefully this helps him and allows him to cut down those interceptions. And if they're able to do that, and the biggest thing that Peyton Manning had that Jameis Winston never had, Peyton Manning had Marshall Faulk, then Peyton Manning had Edgerrin James. So he had a run game to take some of the pressure off him, and I don't think Jameis Winston ever had that at all in Tampa. So I think New England would be an ideal spot for him, and I think he can continue to grow his game and get better.
Yeah, let's get to that, because there are quarterbacks, and we've seen it a few, that they never get those interceptions out of their system. They'll just keep throwing them. It doesn't matter. They know they got a good arm to get into some windows, and sometimes those windows close sooner than they think. With Winston, is it technique? Is it right coaching? Does he just need to be paired up with somebody that can sort of help him see what he should be seeing?
I think it's a lot about just him understanding what's going on. We know he understands the game from a coach's perspective. We saw that at Florida State. You don't go in as a freshman and win the national championship and put yourself in position to win the Heisman Trophy if you don't know what you're looking at. And so for Winston, I think it's just about him not being able to see things. I think correcting his eyesight was a legitimate issue, and he finally got that fixed. So when you look at what he does well, he can throw the intermediate ball well, the deep ball he got better at last year. We know he wants to win. So all of those things, I think, are pointing up. People talk about his interceptions, but a lot of those interceptions came in, you know, early parts of the game. No one talks about the Phillip Rivers interceptions that come with him with the ball with a chance to win. He throws a game-losing interception.
Emory Hunt joins us. Footballgameplan.com is the website. Check that out. It's excellent stuff. Good insight on the NFL. Emory, from a standpoint of the Patriots, let's stay with them for a second. Let's say they don't pursue Winston. Let's say that they want to stay with Jarrett Stidham. We didn't get to see a lot of Jarrett Stidham. What do we know about him, and what do we know about what he might be able to do for Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick?
that they're going to be looking at Trevor Lawrence in 2021 if they stick with Jared Stidham at quarterback. He's not a starter at all. He wasn't that good at Auburn. And not to sound harsh, but they need a quarterback. And whether it's going to be Winston or it's going to be Cam Newton or they're going to draft one in the first round, Jared Stidham just isn't that guy for New England, in my opinion.
That's good stuff. I like the way you go right to the whole, all right, fine, then they're going to go after Trevor Lawrence in the draft on Jared Stidham. One other quarterback that does need some, you know, people to see how he is Cam Newton, and he can't go to facilities. He's not going to be able to you know, showcase what he can do in front of people and teams. What's his future look like? How muddied is it?
It's weird because a healthy Cam Newton is the best quarterback in free agency right now. But you have to wonder how healthy he's going to be. So if I were Cam Newton, if I got clearance from my doctors, I would start putting together these videos that everybody loves to do, these draft workouts that he can show that, hey, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go. Because if that's the case, if you're the Miami Dolphins, you can get Cam Newton for a second or a third round pick and keep all three of your first round picks to select position players and really build a legitimate team that's ready to win in 2020 because of that one move. They don't have to draft a quarterback if they're able to sign a healthy Cam Newton.
So we talked about Tom Brady and people wondering what kind of 43-year-old quarterback the Buccaneers will going to be get. He's not as old, but he's still on the back end of 30, and that's Phillip Rivers. What kind of quarterback is Indianapolis getting, and does it make them a player in that division?
It doesn't, because they should have stayed with Jacoby Brissett. Prior to him getting hurt, they were 5-2. He was playing great football. He gets hurt against Pittsburgh and never was healthy the rest of the way, and we saw how that ended up. So I thought the Colts panicked. They got a guy in Phillip Rivers that showed decline and played some bad football as well. If he was still a guy that had a lot left in the tank, he wouldn't have left the Chargers. So I think people just got enamored with the name. They went ahead and gave him a one-year, $25 million deal with a guy that was already on the roster, Jacoby Brissett, that showed that he can play when, you know, given the start and a full allotment of talent, which also started to deteriorate around him as far as his receivers are concerned. So I thought they should have just stayed with Jacoby Brissett for one more year or maybe drafted a guy later in the second round or something like that to develop. But now you push that whole entire window back a couple of years because you're hitching your wagon to a guy that just doesn't have it anymore.
We're going around the NFL with Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com. So Nick Foles goes from Jacksonville to the Bears. Mitch Trubisky is still on the Bears. Two ways to read this. There's a competition, or Nick Foles is just going to take that over outright. How do you see those two?
The Bears really made a statement saying that they believe in Mitch Trubisky, which is unfortunate because you had an opportunity to get either Cam Newton or Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
But out of those two, you chose Nick Foles, who got benched by Jacksonville for a sixth-round pick, and Gardner Minshew, who quietly isn't that good either because he got benched in favor for Nick Foles again. So it's funny how the Bears just refuse to admit the mistake they made in selecting Mr. Trubisky, and it's going to hurt them once again.
Jadeveon Clowney wants $20 million a year, and I know this is sort of a tactic an employee agent sometimes use. He's not going to get that, is he?
It depends.
You think he might?
Wait, when you look at the fact that outside of Chase Young, this edge rush class in this draft is not that prolific. It's Chase Young, and then it's a bunch of guys after him that are just kind of sort of average or good players, maybe spot players or situational players. So for Clowney, the leverage is in his favor, I think, because Chase Young is the one that everybody acknowledges as the premier pass rusher. There's no one else in that same stratosphere, so Clowney could get exactly what he's looking for.
Speaking of the draft, we think, you know, obviously we are kind of analyzing Joe Burrow going to the Bengals, and that means Andy Dalton will be going somewhere else. What is the early word on who is interested in Andy Dalton and what his future might be?
Interesting. When you look at Dalton, I think Dalton plays good football, and I would have liked to see him in Chicago more than Nick Foles. So it'll be interesting to see where Dalton goes. New England, I heard, is a possibility. Dalton does play well. He's gotten the Bengals to the playoffs, but he hadn't gotten them over the hump in the playoffs for a wide array of reasons. Sometimes it's other things. Sometimes it's his play. But I think Dalton still has some good football left in him, and I would like to see him somewhere where he can, you know, prove that he was a talented player in Cincinnati.
We went a lot of places, Emery. Really appreciate your coming on this morning to bounce us around the league because it was a very busy week. Thank you so much, my friend.
Appreciate you having me on, man.
You got it. Emery Hunt, footballgameplan.com is the website. Check it out. Good stuff on the NFL. And that was on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Thoughts on what Emery has brought us coming up on SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Folks, your air filter plays a huge role in the life and performance of your engine. For performance and economy, you want a filter that will allow enough clean air for the engine to run well while still protecting it. The difference between a quality air filter and a cheap one is how well it does its job. Did you know a quality air filter can help keep your oil cleaner? Inferior quality filters allow fine sand and dirt to enter the engine, which dirties the oil and causes extra wear. Now, if you're driving a diesel, your engine uses twice as much air as a gas engine. That means your filter gets dirty twice as fast. That's why I recommend getting a quality air filter and replacing it at least every 15 to 20,000 miles. Do it sooner if you drive in a dusty area. And the original equipment filter is always a safe bet. This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and be sure to sign up for our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play.
The Jeep Celebration event is here, and we're inviting you to get great deals on the SUVs built to stand the test of time, which means more time to discover all that awaits in the luxurious Jeep Grand Cherokee with available premium leather trim seats and real wood accents, as well as Harman Kardon audio. More time to go beyond the ordinary to places that can only be reached with the help of Jeep Cherokee's legendary capability. More time to drive off into the sunset and into the next sunrise with Jeep Compass's innovative technology and connectivity, like the available 8.4-inch Uconnect touchscreen. And, of course, more time taking in some rays while taking advantage of the open-air freedom of Jeep Renegade with available MySky open-air sunroof. Time is the ultimate test, and your time to enjoy great deals at the Jeep Celebration event is running out. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, because Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks to Emery Hunt, footballgameplan.com. Does not like Jarrett Stidham at all.
Well, who does?
Got to go with Cam Newton.
I'm not a big fan.
Got to go with Jameis Winston. Trevor Lawrence,
okay,
baby.
Didn't you and I say that yesterday? You actually said it earlier today that Josh McDaniels is probably just arrogant and cocky enough to go, I think we can change Winston.
I think so, too. I think he is. I think he totally is. He is just of that mindset. I think he's going to be like, look, trust me on this, Bill.
I mean, let's
I can take him. I can make him the quarterback you think he can be. He can throw.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We've said it all along. We just need to cut down on the bad decisions. That's a mental thing.
Yeah, he can't. He can play in this league. He's shown time and time again he can play in this league. You give him a running game. You give him a good defense. You don't make him throw it 50 times a game. And you find a way to get the interceptions down. He'll be a very, very good quarterback for you. And McDaniels might be the guy that goes, I got you.
Yep.
Don't worry about this. I got him. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they land Winston.
Not at all. I would think that would be a move that you'd make.
But see, it's interesting about Stidham, because I know they say they like him. Mike Petralia told us this week they like him. But how do you really like a guy when Tom Brady's your starter?
Yeah, you don't even know your guy.
Like, you can watch him in practice and workouts all you want, but you don't really know.
But maybe Belichick's just that good that he can read a player in practice and know exactly how they'll be on the game.
Yeah, that's very true. I kind of tend to use my own experience into these situations, not realizing that Belichick probably is 5 or 10 steps way ahead of me on the evaluation of Jared Stidham. So we'll see. The Ocho is coming back. It's not the 8th of anything, but it's going to be back this weekend. Let's see.
It's what we need.
Marble runs, cherry spitting, sign spinning, stacking. Yep. The stacking is really interesting.
No, that's a skill.
Cup stacking is outstanding.
I saw a little promo here, and it looked like there was lightsaber battles. I'm not really sure how you judge that.
Wow, that's great.
But I'm in.
It's going to start midnight Sunday, midnight Eastern, with the Cornhole Championships from Jacksonville. Then you're going to have...
Must have been played earlier this year. Or is that taking place on the beach right now?
Who knows? Might as well, since everybody else is on the beach. Putt-Putt Championships at 7:30 Eastern. I'm into that. Those guys take that really seriously. They got the math all right. You ever watch one of these?
Yes.
They know the angles, and they're like, well, if I hit it right here... I mean, they don't just... let's just hit it as hard as they can through the clown's mouth.
The lineup you got, it's, your primetime lineup basically is dodgeball, USA versus Canada.
That's awesome.
Then the marble run.
Yep.
Slippery stairs, the college tour.
Good.
I don't even know what that is. I'm in.
I don't either.
And then death diving.
And then the Johnsonville brat eating world championships.
No, that's for lunch.
That's for lunch. That's awesome.
Yeah. You should be eating brats while you watch that.
And the Crystal World Hamburger Eating Championship. I'm totally in on the Ocho.